Extract number 1. Read the questions.
This NBA star and Olympic champion is as famous for helping people and encouraging political action as he is for his immense sporting talent. LeBron's mother was 16 years old when her son was born. She raised him on her own with little money. They didn't always have enough to eat. At times, they lived with family, and they moved from one apartment to another. When LeBron was in fourth grade, he missed 16 weeks of school. In 2018, LeBron's foundation, the LeBron James Family Foundation, opened a school for underprivileged children in his hometown, Akron, Ohio. The school has classes for kids and provides clothes, food, health care, and help to parents who need it. LeBron also wants to build social housing. For several years now, LeBron has denounced racism towards African Americans in the USA. He created the More Than a Vote movement with other athletes and artists to encourage African Americans to vote.
Now, listen again.
This NBA star and Olympic champion is as famous for helping people and encouraging political action as he is for his immense sporting talent. LeBron's mother was 16 years old when her son was born. She raised him on her own with little money. They didn't always have enough to eat. At times, they lived with family, and they moved from one apartment to another. When LeBron was in fourth grade, he missed 16 weeks of school. In 2018, LeBron's foundation, the LeBron James Family Foundation, opened a school for underprivileged children in his hometown, Akron, Ohio. The school has classes for kids and provides clothes, food, health care, and help to parents who need it. LeBron also wants to build social housing. For several years now, LeBron has denounced racism towards African Americans in the USA. He created the More Than a Vote movement with other athletes and artists to encourage African Americans to vote.
Extract number 2. Read the questions.
I'm going to show you how to fry the perfect egg. Okay, it's very, very simple. Now, if you can hear that crackling, what I've got over here is a little bacon. The reason I'm frying my bacon before I start my egg is I want the fat. So I'm going to pour some of that bacon fat into a pan. Leave that bacon there for a little later. And then using the bacon fat, we're going to fry the egg, okay? You want a warm pan, not a hot pan, just a warm pan. Get yourself a couple of little cups. And what you do is you crack your eggs into the cups first. That way you're not doing it over a hot pan, over a hot stove. You can do it over here on your board. You pick up your eggs and you're just going to gently pop those into the pan. Trying as best you can to keep them on separate sides of the pan. It doesn't matter if they touch a little bit because that'll be easy to move. But if they're sitting together, it's a little bit more difficult. So I've just put it into the pan. The thing you need to remember with fried eggs is don't overcrowd your pan. You know, you just want to put a couple in there in case you want to flip them over. So once your eggs have been in for a minute or so, all you want to do is just gently shake your pan. Now you'll see when you shake your pan, some of that egg white, the albumen of the egg, is still undercooked and you want that to be cooked. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and separate this again, just nice and gently. That's why you don't overcrowd the pan with too many eggs, because then you're trying to cut it up into these little pieces to get a yolk per piece. Now it's quite traditional in different parts of Europe to add a little more butter. So get yourself a spoon. You'll see that butter will melt very, very quickly. And then you can take a little bit of that fat and just pour it straight back over the egg, and that'll cook those little bit of egg whites from the top. Just before the eggs are cooked, you want to give them just a little crack of pepper and just a quick season of sea salt, and you're ready to go. It's so simple, but when you fry a perfect egg, it's just beautiful.
Now, listen again.
I'm going to show you how to fry the perfect egg. Okay, it's very, very simple. Now, if you can hear that crackling, what I've got over here is a little bacon. The reason I'm frying my bacon before I start my egg is I want the fat. So I'm going to pour some of that bacon fat into a pan. Leave that bacon there for a little later. And then using the bacon fat, we're going to fry the egg, okay? You want a warm pan, not a hot pan, just a warm pan. Get yourself a couple of little cups. And what you do is you crack your eggs into the cups first. That way you're not doing it over a hot pan, over a hot stove. You can do it over here on your board. You pick up your eggs and you're just going to gently pop those into the pan. Trying as best you can to keep them on separate sides of the pan. It doesn't matter if they touch a little bit because that'll be easy to move. But if they're sitting together, it's a little bit more difficult. So I've just put it into the pan. The thing you need to remember with fried eggs is don't overcrowd your pan. You know, you just want to put a couple in there in case you want to flip them over. So once your eggs have been in for a minute or so, all you want to do is just gently shake your pan. Now you'll see when you shake your pan, some of that egg white, the albumen of the egg, is still undercooked and you want that to be cooked. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and separate this again, just nice and gently. That's why you don't overcrowd the pan with too many eggs, because then you're trying to cut it up into these little pieces to get a yolk per piece. Now it's quite traditional in different parts of Europe to add a little more butter. So get yourself a spoon. You'll see that butter will melt very, very quickly. And then you can take a little bit of that fat and just pour it straight back over the egg, and that'll cook those little bit of egg whites from the top. Just before the eggs are cooked, you want to give them just a little crack of pepper and just a quick season of sea salt, and you're ready to go. It's so simple, but when you fry a perfect egg, it's just beautiful.
Extract number 3. Read the questions.
Al Jarvis was a local disc jockey who had a long-running radio show for hours a day and decided television just came along, and it was just starting out here. So he went on a daytime show, and he called me and asked if I'd like to be his Girl Friday. And I said, oh, gee, that's, yes, of course. And it turned out it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were on 6 days a week, 5.5 hours a day, and no script, no anything. We did, it was like going to television college. It was wonderful.
So live 5.5 hours a day?
Live 5.5, and that included Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays or anything. It was live 6 days a week. In those days, television was just starting, and everybody was so fascinated by that little box in the corner. And they hadn't heard all the plots, and they hadn't heard all the jokes, and they hadn't heard all the conversations. So everything was brand new, and it's a lot easier that way than now with an audience that's so far ahead of you and so sophisticated that, oh, you've been there, done that. Jarvis was a disc jockey, and he was there for the first 2 years of the show, and then he moved over to ABC when the industry began to expand. And so I inherited the show because I was there. They wanted a co-host, naturally, because a woman couldn't run a show, according to them at that time. So they brought in Eddie Albert, who was a movie star. And Eddie and I were co-hosting the show, and then we would do songs. We would sing together. Oh, it was such fun to sing with him, because he loved to sing, and I loved to sing, and he could harmonize, and it was heaven. And his wife, Margot, would come over to the house. They'd come over the house in the evening. We didn't spend enough time after 5.5 hours a day. We would still socialize, and he'd bring his guitar, and we'd all sing. So we had a wonderful time, but just about that time, he was offered a movie over with Audrey Hepburn, and he couldn't turn it down, so we lost him as the co-host. But we stayed friends.
Now, listen again.
Al Jarvis was a local disc jockey who had a long-running radio show for hours a day and decided television just came along, and it was just starting out here. So he went on a daytime show, and he called me and asked if I'd like to be his Girl Friday. And I said, oh, gee, that's, yes, of course. And it turned out it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were on 6 days a week, 5.5 hours a day, and no script, no anything. It was like going to television college. It was wonderful.
So live 5.5 hours a day?
Live 5.5, and that included Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays or anything. It was live 6 days a week. In those days, television was just starting, and everybody was so fascinated by that little box in the corner. And they hadn't heard all the plots, and they hadn't heard all the jokes, and they hadn't heard all the conversations. So everything was brand new. And it's a lot easier that way than now with an audience that's so far ahead of you and so sophisticated that, oh, you've been there, done that. Jarvis was a disc jockey, and he was there for the first 2 years of the show, and then he moved over to ABC when the industry began to expand. And so I inherited the show because I was there. They wanted a co-host, naturally, because a woman couldn't run a show, according to them at that time. So they brought in Eddie Albert, who was a movie star, and Eddie and I were co-hosting the show, and then we would do songs. We would sing together. Oh, it was such fun to sing with him, because he loved to sing, and I loved to sing, and he could harmonize, and it was heaven. And his wife, Margot, would come over to the house. They'd come over to the house in the evening. We didn't spend enough time after 5.5 hours a day. We would still socialize, and he'd bring his guitar, and we'd all sing. So we had a wonderful time, but just about that time, he was offered a movie over with Audrey Hepburn, and he couldn't turn it down, so we lost him as the co-host. But we stayed friends.
That is the end of part 1.